That song is by the Rochesters, and I think I'm a little loud there, Sean. Just bring me down a little bit. Thank you. Stand still and let God move. Psalm 46:10, the Bible says, "Be still and know that I'm God," and God wants us to stand still and be still while he fills us with his presence, his power. And then after we're still for a while, God wants us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But he doesn't want you to go till you stand still and be still for a while. And so that's the important thing. Thank you for that song, Sister Rebecca. That was beautiful. Don't you love the way she sings? Say amen. I love it. Psalm 126, the message this morning out of the Psalms. We're going to just take a break for a couple weeks from 1 Timothy. When we begin our study on 1 Timothy, I do have, Sean, I do have something up there in the computer, the Psalm 126. Next time we get back into 1 Timothy chapter 5, we'll be dealing with how to take care of widows and what qualifies a widow to get help from the church. See, back in Acts chapter 6, we studied this morning in Sunday school a little bit. There was, as the church continued to grow, incredibly grow, as God began blessing disciples, the apostles were kind of strapped because their function and focus was prayer and the word of God and the oversight of the churches. And so the widows really had some needs that were neglected. And so they had prayed and selected seven men, and there were some qualifications that they had to meet. And their responsibility was the business of serving people. That was God's business, is helping people. Amen. That's our business, helping people, saving people. And so that was the business or the ministry of the deacons of the church, was to serve and help and minister to the widows first. And of course, as church continued to grow and expand, there's other responsibilities that we went over as I taught about that. And the Bible says about the first church in the book of Acts that the Lord added daily to such be saved, and it started growing and growing and growing, and people were getting saved left and right, and it was just incredible and exciting ministry. In fact, it was a great church with much spiritual activity taking place, and the greatest activity was centered around the fact that people were getting born again. Amen? And so that was the focus. And I think the greatest mark of a New Testament Baptist church is one that is filled with people who love people seeing getting saved, but people who love to go soul winning and also to see people come to know Christ. And at the heart of a soul winning church is a deep commitment to winning people to Christ. And personal evangelism, soul winning, is a mark of a great church that is filled with the passion for Jesus. And the most important thing is obedience to the word of God for every Christian to be a soul winner. And in fact, every Christian is commanded to be a witness for Jesus. And we're told in Mark 16:15 to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and that we are to be witnesses in all the world. We are the witnesses. There is another group from the Watchtower called the Witnesses, Jehovah Witnesses. They are witnesses for the devil. We are the witnesses for the Lord. Amen? And we should have, and if you're a witness, that means a witness is to give a testimony of a fact. The fact is, Christ is in you, you're saved, you're a new creature, and Jesus is the only way to heaven. So you're the witness to give a testimony. And so where's the people you're supposed to witness to? No matter where you go, he's supposed to be a witness. So that's the key. And so around the world, across the street, we're told to go and share the gospel. A great definition for soul winning is one beggar telling another beggar where to find the bread. And by the way, every single person in here, you are a bread boy or a bread girl for Jesus Christ. That's all I consider myself to be, is a bread boy for Jesus. Amen? And most of the time, I serve hot garlic bread right from the oven. Amen? Sometimes it's cornbread, but most time it's garlic bread, a little tangy flavor on there. But anyway, we're supposed to be bread boys. We're supposed to be winning souls. And you say, well, how are we supposed to do that? Well, I'm going to go over three things, and next week I'll finish the message. But I really want to focus this morning. I want to, again, after our missions trip and, you know, seeing what the Lord did in New York City, and of course, if he does it there, he could do it here. Again, I think we need to get back and just kind of focus in on our responsibility as a church. We have a purpose. You have a purpose. Your purpose in life and my purpose in life is to glorify God, glorify Jesus in all that we do, all that we say, all that we wear, all that we eat, all that we drink. Everything about our life should bring glory to God. Amen? Amen? Okay. Second thing, we have a mission. Our church has a mission. What's the mission? It's missions. The mission of our church is missions. The mission is across the street and around the world, preaching the gospel, winning people to Jesus, discipling them. And so that's important. So before we get into Psalm 126, it's only six verses. We're going to get in a couple verses this morning and the rest next week. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word. And I'm going to pray also that God would wake some of you up, because some of you are tired. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this day that we had already, and thank you for the children, their excitement, their joy when they're in church, especially when they come forward and sing and they're involved in the service. And I just pray that you bless Brother Ed back there as he ministers to the children, bless those in the nursery. God, I pray that you meet with us this morning. Lord, this is the heart of our church, is to follow your commandment, your great commission into all the world and preach the gospel. Lord, we've got so many different tracks, different languages, different things that we could do, different gospel illusion stuff from Way of the Master. So many things that you've given us to be successful in the outreach of the lost. And I pray, help us all to be motivated to do what we're supposed to be doing, telling people about your son. Now we pray that you bless now our time together, and we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 126, a psalm of David. The Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. That word turned means brought back those of the captivity. We were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, look at this verse. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. Are they watching? You betcha. Are they listening? You betcha. They're listening and watching for your witness, your testimony about what God's doing and done in your life. Then the Bible says in verse number 3, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Yes, there's a confirmation. Yes, he has done great things for us. Verse number 4, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south, and they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. This morning's message around the world, across the street, every child of God must win souls for Jesus. You say, why? First point's pretty obvious. The motivation behind soul winning. What is the motivation behind soul winning? The motivation should be, it's a command. It's a command. It's the Great Commission. We're commanded to go and preach. But another, as we take a look at this, let's take a look at verse number 1, 2, and 3. The Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The first thing I see is when we deal with witnessing or soul winning or visitation, it's neither natural or easy for us to go. Just like some of us here are kind of not really confrontational and kind of shy when it comes to talking to people or confronting people with the gospel. And so soul winning is hard for some people because it kind of goes against your personality. That's why you cannot do it in the flesh. You have to do it in the spirit. If you pray, God will give you what you need to go, even pass out tracts. You could do it because the Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I believe that promise, I can do all things, which includes soul winning. I could do all things, amen, through Christ, which strengthens me. Do you believe that one? Say amen. Amen. Okay, because it's in the Bible. And that's our theme verse for 2010. So, just like praying, it's not natural or easy for us to pray. We need to really be motivated and disciplined to pray and read our Bibles. Very important. In fact, I believe that it takes the heart of obedience to Jesus and determination to live a spirit-filled life in order for us to be an effective witness for Jesus. In our psalm, I think you'll find two great motivations for telling others about Jesus and how to be effective witness. The first thing, we should be motivated by the grace of God. The grace of God. What is grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor, God's riches at Christ's expense, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. You and I receiving the gifts of God, the blessings of God in our life that we do not deserve. Remember the grace umbrella? Okay, the showers of blessings. We should be motivated to go and tell others about Jesus just because of the grace of God that we've received. People that are effective in their witnessing are people that have experienced the life-changing power of the Son of God in their life. I know what the Lord did in my life. I know what he's done. I know the difference, and my family knows the difference. My wife knows the difference. It's evident. Something happened to me. Something completely transformed me, just like Saul to Paul. Something happened. What was it? I was saved by the grace of God. So what am I going to do with that? Just enjoy it? No, I'm going to share it. I can't help but share it. Why? Because this is what motivates me to tell people. It's about God's grace, what he did for me. He could do for you. He could do for those in Mexico and South Dakota and New Hampshire and New York City and Germantown, Farmersville, no matter where you live. The grace of God still works in the hearts of people that need Jesus. I mean, that's what motivates me is by the grace of God. The very principle is underscored in the psalm is the people of God are able to testify that the Lord turned the captivity of Zion. They were being held hostage. They were being slaves. They were doing things that God didn't intend them to do. Why? Why did they all of a sudden were allowed to be controlled and be enslaved by the heathen nations, their enemy nations? Why did God allow that? Number one reason, their idolatry. Man, they were so blessed by God. They were prosperous. They were protected. They were blessed with the promises of God. And all of a sudden, when they got blessed and they got prosperous and they got rich, and all of a sudden they didn't need God that much, and they were influenced by the heathen nations and by the idols and the worship and the world. Instead of being in the Word, they were in the world, and so they became idolatrous. And God said, "Okay, if this is what you want to do, I'm taking my protection off of you. I'm going to let the nations come. Instead of you having freedom and serving me, you're going to be under bondage. You're going to be under captivity, and you're going to be miserable." And they were. Why were they miserable? Because they turned from God. They were backslidden. Boy, was the nation of Israel backslidden. Amen? Backslidden on God. They were in captivity. They weren't set free. They weren't enjoying their freedom. Hey, you know, when you get set free from Jesus, you're free indeed. Amen? When the Son sets you free, you're free. Free to what? Free to serve him. Free to tell others about Jesus while it's still legal. Amen? So we see we should be motivated by the grace of God. This is salvation language that describes the condition has been changed and completely reversed. It's been turned. The Lord is the one that turned the captivity of Zion. They were in captivity. Now they're going to be set free. The condition that once was miserable and full of affliction is now enjoying the blessing and favor and forgiveness of God in his presence. The release from bondage resulted in what? Song and celebration, rejoicing and gladness. When they were released from bondage and get back into the promised land to serve the Lord, enjoy his blessings, enjoy his protection, and all the good things that came by being obedient to the Lord, they celebrated with song and celebration. They were glad, they rejoiced, and they were laughing, having a great time. That should be happening in the house of God. Amen. We've been set free. We're not going to hell. Amen. We're not going to lake of fire. We're going to go to heaven. So we should be a rejoicing people. We've been set free from our captivity because we were all dead in our sins and trespasses, heading for our destination, hell and then a lake of fire. That's where we're going for all eternity. We should be the most rejoicing, celebrated people in all the world. Are you this morning? Anyway, the release from bondage resulted in song and celebration, rejoicing. This is also true for those of us that have experienced God's deliverance in our life. You know, the Jews lost their song in Babylon. In fact, hold your place here and just turn a couple of Psalms, Psalm 137. When they were held in captivity and they lost their freedom, they were in a strange land. Didn't like where they were. They were miserable. They were afflicted. They were in bondage, all because of their sin. See, we take God's blessings for granted. He could take it all away, can't he? Just talk to Samson when you get to heaven and see how much he lost because of his sin. Psalm 137, beginning verse number 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. They weren't supposed to be there. They were supposed to be in Jerusalem. Yea, we wept. They were miserable. When we remembered Zion, boy, they remembered where they were, what they were doing, how God was blessed. They remembered the good old days. Amen. When they were right with God. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. Their harps was an instrument they used to play to glorify God. They couldn't play them anymore. They were full of misery, depression. They were thinking about the good old days back in Zion. God's protection, God's providence. Their families were blessed. And now they're absolutely miserable. Hard to play an instrument. Hard to sing a song when you're depressed. Amen? When you're crying and weeping, you don't feel like testifying and singing and playing. You don't feel. So they hung their harps on the willow trees. I'm saying it's time to get the harps off the trees and start playing for Jesus. Amen. So they hang their harps on the willows, the Bible says. Verse number 3, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Can you imagine that? These heathen people, these Babylonians, they had these God's people in their land, and they were miserable, and they tried to force them to sing their song. They wanted to hear the songs. The song they were singing, they were going to sing about God. But it's hard to sing about God when God wasn't blessing their life. Amen? When they knew they were wrong and they were miserable. Verse number 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land, in a foreign land, in a place where we shouldn't be? Hard to sing a song when we're out of God's will. Hard to sing a song when we're somewhere we shouldn't be. Hard to be a witness for God when we're completely out of the place where God has a place of blessing. When we're out from underneath the grace umbrella, hard to be blessed by God. Say amen. And God doesn't move, we move. That grace umbrella follows us whenever we're walking that righteous path and we're following God's word in obedience to the word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. So when you're walking on that path of righteousness, doing exactly what God's called you to do, you got over you that grace umbrella of God's blessing. But when you stray from the path of righteousness and obedience, you can forget about that grace umbrella following you. Misery comes, affliction comes, depression comes. You don't feel like singing. You don't feel like playing an instrument. You don't feel like doing nothing. Why? Because you're completely out of the will of God. Say amen. So here we see in verse Psalm 137, it says in verse number 5, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Do you understand what was so special about Jerusalem? It wasn't just a city of God. There it was, the temple of the Lord. It was the presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant was inside the Holy of Holies. Aaron's budded stick, the Ten Commandments were in there. This was a very special holy place. And God's presence was in Jerusalem, and they wanted to get back to the presence of God. It wasn't just a city. It was God's presence in the temple. They were out of God's will. They were backslidden on the Lord. And when you're backslidden on the Lord, you're going to get miserable. You're not going to feel the peace of God. You're not going to have the power of God. You're not going to have gladness and rejoicing in your heart. You ain't going to get it. Why? Because that is the gift of God. Some people try to find it in the bottle called Old Granddad or Budweiser or Johnny Walker Red. I'm sorry, those guys ain't going to make you happy. They're going to make you sick and kill you early. Amen? Or they'll try to find it in a pill bottle or snorting up their nose or injecting their veins. That's going to kill you. Ain't going to help you. Jerusalem, the place of God's temple, his presence. That's where we need to be, in the presence of God. They were completely out of God's presence, completely away from the Lord. Completely miserable. How can we sing God's song in a strange land? Meaning we're completely out of God's will. We're afflicted. We're captive. We're in bondage. We're miserable. Don't feel like singing. Don't feel like playing. Don't feel like coming to church. Don't feel like reading my Bible. Certainly don't feel like telling anybody about Jesus. Don't feel like giving to missions. Amen? That's the plan of the devil. Exactly what he does, to hold you and I captive and not enjoy the freedom that we have in Jesus, to serve him with gladness of heart. Psalm 100 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. This is why it's so important. I'm going to share my heart with you. When we have worship service, whether it's Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, whenever we have it. I know we like to fellowship, and you know, you come a little early, you fellowship, but as soon as we start the opening song, all of us should get serious about what we're doing. It's his time now, not our time. The talking should stop. Amen? The fellowship, it's this time now. This is we don't have much time in church together, corporately worship. I think we need to give him every minute that we have in church. We need to stop the talking, focus on the singing. Anytime we worship the Lord, it's his time. It's time for us to sing the song while we're here in God's place, before we go in a strange land. It's time to sing. You know, you don't realize it, especially on Wednesday night while we're up here, well, Eric and I, and you know, you have the congregation out there in the fellowship hall, while we're singing and you got several people talking in different places, that room, all we hear is, we don't hear the singing, we hear you're talking, and it really interrupts in worship. And it really, we need to focus in on worshiping him the moment we start singing. We need to prepare ourselves for worship. Now, we get done early enough where we could fellowship after, and that'd be good, but we need to focus in on worshiping the King. Worshiping the King. I'm going to do a message on preparing your heart to meet with God. So here we see, motivated by the grace of God. Let's turn back now to Psalm 126. So this is what they were in Psalm 137. They were miserable, couldn't sing. Now we find them in Psalm 126. The Lord has turned their captivity. The Lord has set them free to go back to their land to worship him, to go back to Jerusalem and enjoy the presence of God. So what are they doing now? How are they responding? They're rejoicing. They're singing. They're playing. They're happy. They're having themselves a time. It sounds like the house of God and the people of God to me. Amen? Amen? So now they're shouting, they're laughing, they're singing, and I'm sure they're saying amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, having themselves a good time, playing their tambourines, just shouting away. I'm sure it wasn't a quiet assembly. I'm sure it was a Baptist assembly. The next thing I see about motivating us to go out and tell people about Jesus, not only by the grace of God, but also by the gratitude in our hearts, us being so thankful for what God's done in our life. I am so thankful. I am so full of gratitude. I mean, the past several months, the way God has supplied my needs, even the little things sometimes we could take for granted, little things. Like there was one Thursday after our VBS, we had all the stuff out there that was supposed to go back to the fella in Franklin who no cost to us. Every year we have VBS, he says we could borrow whatever we want. He wants to donate it to the church, those nice, you know, palm trees that light up, and they're expensive. You know, we had them for 4 days and 5 days. So we brought them out there, and that Thursday I said, man, I don't have anybody here this Thursday to help me with, you know, bringing this. I'll try to put it in the back of Eric's truck, and I'll get it over there. I said, you know, maybe the Lord give me some strength to get it over. And so I was just wondering, I said, man, I wonder if anybody's going to be over there. And sure enough, Brother Carl was here. And he comes as often as he can on Thursdays, and he does a lot of cleaning, and he's really a blessing to our church. You talk about a true deacon. He's a true deacon, true servant. He really is. Him and Perla, we've been blessed. Amen? And, next in a couple months, we're actually going to put Brother Chris Wilson, Kevin Wilson, and Chris, of course, his wife, and, of course, the good team there, great servants of the Lord, and Brother Wilson's going to be a blessing to our church as well. But anyway, Brother Carmack was there, and I just, in my heart, I said, I just thank the Lord that he was there. We loaded up the truck, and it was real easy. See, little things like that, parking spaces. You know, you pray for a parking space, and all of a sudden, I mean, little stuff like that. But I'm talking about needs being met. I'm talking about when I had a rough couple of weeks, I go fishing with Billy Graham Sr. He called me up, hey, preacher, you want to go fishing? And he called me up. He said, yeah, let's go. So I go over to his house, you know, about 5:30. We go to this special spot. Man, I'm telling you, every time we go fishing, we just have a blast. We have a good time. And he's a good fisherman. This guy knows how to fish. I'm not kidding you. And one time it was somebody called me from Florida, and they said, what are you doing? I said, I'm fishing with Billy Graham. You're fishing with Billy Graham? You're a lying dog. I said, I ain't kidding you. I got the real Billy Graham right here in my boat, fisherman. I don't lie for nobody. Don't tell me I'm not fishing with Billy Graham. Amen. Oh, I'm telling my boys about that. I said, go ahead. I can imagine what's being spread down in Florida. Pastor Ricky's fishing with Billy Graham. I am. Not the one he's thinking about, though, but I didn't tell him that. So, oh, that's deceiving. No, that's having fun. Amen? You're legalistic. A couple weeks ago in July, man, I caught one of the biggest fish, crappies. I mean, it was a 15 almost. I think it shrunk. It looked like a 20-incher when I caught it, but I'm not kidding you. Even Billy said, did that thing shrink? I said, I think so. But it was huge. And a guy from Germantown Press put in the paper, you know, and God gets all the glory. But it's a 15-inch giant crappie. And God, he knows exactly what I need when I need it. Just allow me not to lose a big one, to have Bill Banks to show you that I do catch big fish. Amen? But God's good. But I'm so thankful for what the Lord's done in my life. I'm thankful that my wife finally got saved 10 years after me, finally. And all my sons are saved. And my daughter-in-law, Amanda, she's saved and loves God. And my future daughter-in-law, Rachel, she's saved and loves the Lord. And hopefully, and I know my next daughter-in-law for Justin is going to be saved. Amen? I'm so thankful. God's blessed our family with salvation. And I'm glad her mom was saved. I'm glad I led my dad and mom to the Lord. Got to baptize my dad, my own dad, baptized him. I baptized you, my father, and my brother in the Lord. That was fun. I got a wonderful church, sweet spirit, giving church, loving church. It's a family of God. We got so much to be thankful for. That should be another motivating factor why we need to share how good God is to us. We need to share it. There's people dying to have a church like this. We've got so many activities and so many different things going on, and we're debt-free. We don't owe nothing. Amen? Praise God. Everything's paid for. You know, we got some good money in the bank, but our offerings are off. I'm concerned about that, but that'll be okay. God will bless there. It's like that all over. But because of your salvation, because of your thankfulness, one way to show God that you're thankful is to go tell people about Jesus. Amen? Verse number 2 and 3, as we close. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. Wow, they saw the difference in their life. The Lord has done great things for us, wherefore we are glad. We should be motivated by gratitude. When you realize the great things that the Lord has done for us, that will make you glad and cause you to want to share that with others. It's interesting here that the ones that recognized the evident goodness of God was first the heathen when they said the Lord has done great things for them. That is what prompted Israel, the children of God, to say the Lord has done great things for us. Part of what soul winning is people seeing what great things the Lord has done for us and are sharing the details of the goodness of God. You know, within us, we have the Holy Spirit. Within us, we have this joy of freedom. Within us, we have the love of God. But within us, we have what everybody's looking for, Jesus. And so this is our command. Go. And tell the story of the Christ of Calvary. What about the story? He will forgive their sins like he did yours. He will save their souls like he did yours. He will cleanse their hearts like he did yours. And he will make them whole. So go, church, and tell the story of the Christ of Calvary. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's such a privilege and honor for us to be ambassadors for Christ. That's who we are. There's so many titles that we hold, so many responsibilities that we've been given, but so many privileges and honors we have from the King. Think about this as we stand. Let's all stand. Think about this. How is your testimony before the lost and before the saved? Can they see Jesus in you? can the heathen see what great things God has done for you? Are you thankful? Are you glad about the grace of God in your life? Have you been sharing the Lord with people, passing out tracts? Have you been a witness? Next question. Are you saved? You can't pass out a tract, can't tell people about Jesus if you don't have the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why you don't want to do it, because most of the time people aren't saved. A saved person doesn't have a desire to tell people about the Lord because they can't. They're uncomfortable, really uncomfortable, because they're not saved themselves. Sometimes that's the reason. You say, Brother Ted, that's me. I struggle in my heart. I am not sure I'm saved. Here's my hand. I really need to get that settled this morning. I am not saved. Please pray for me. Anybody like that here this morning? Please pray for me. Anybody like that? All right. Chrissy is getting ready to play an invitational song. Our message this morning and next week is across the street and around the world. Will you go? Father, I pray that you bless now our time of prayer. Thank you for the word of God in Psalm 126. Help us to focus on your word and read and study the word and do exactly what you call us to do. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for your words. We pray that you bless our time of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come? That song is not just for children. It's for us to be challenged to go and tell the story. Go and be a witness. Go and testify about God, how great he is, the great things he's done for you, about Jesus suffering on the cross, paying the sin debt for the world, being buried and being raised again and coming back again. We don't know when, but he's coming. Could be tonight, could be next year. Well, he's coming. And when he comes back, what's he going to find you doing? What's he going to find you watching, listening to? Where are you going to be when he comes back? You going to have your harps hung up in a willow tree? Not singing, not rejoicing? You're going to be in captivity, miserable? Or are you going to be rejoicing, glad and happy about his coming? You may be seated right where you are and pray.